from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
We're going to get to Daryl Ryder here. Who is it? The Greenbrier. You know what? I don't think I can read this tweet on the air. Just go to my social media feed, at SportsBoyTony. Somebody explained exactly procedure is going to go down. And on that note, we go out to Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, brought to you by, as always, Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, it is such an honor and a pleasure to have you on because it means football is finally here. We got a little bit of a news dump on the opening day. And obviously, we all reacted immediately to the news that Kevin Stefanski would be calling the plays once again here in year 5 of his coaching tenure. What were your original thoughts?
I was surprised that he told us. I wasn't surprised at the decision that was made. I'm a big believer. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. He's done a good job calling plays the first 4 years, even with bringing in Ken Dorsey to be the offense coordinator and kind of tweak things to accentuate what Deshaun Watson does best and some of the skilled players. I still felt that it was in the best interest that he keep calling the plays. But, it was nice of him to end that suspense so we didn't have to spend all of training camp asking him about it.
What sort of tweaks do you expect to see to this offense, even if Stefanski is still calling the plays, but with Ken Dorsey being involved?
Well, I think it's going to be a more pass-happy offense, first and foremost. And I think that there's going to be some tempo and rhythm to it. It's going to be interesting to see if the receivers and Watson are on the same page when it comes to these choice routes that they're going to be running. So some of the timing routes that we saw the last couple of years, they'll keep some of it, but a lot of that's going to go bye-bye. I'm interested to see if they keep the gimmick stuff in the playbook this year that we've seen in recent years, obviously last year with Elijah Moore, the stuff that they worked on in the offseason, quite frankly, did not work during the regular season. So, again, interested to see if those elements will be, incorporated. But, they got a lot of new offensive coaches on that side of the football, including Dorsey. You got a new offensive line coach, got a new running backs coach. So, I do feel like Stefanski made the right move in, keeping the play calling duties.
With Dorsey, a lot of people, fans-wise, expected him to call plays. Can you explain what his role is going to look like as the offensive coordinator that doesn't call plays for the Browns, Daryl?
No, it's the same thing that Alex Van Pelt did. So, he's going to be, working with all the offensive coaches, going to be helping with, the game planning and, researching and, proposing defense and things like that. Helping Stefanski put together the early script for the games. So it's the same thing that Alex Van Pelt did for the previous 4 years, basically.
Daryl Ryder joining us right now from West Virginia. So I'm going to ask you to put your speculation cap on, Daryl. It's when I enjoy you the most. So, Daryl, with your speculation cap, how long do you think the Browns have known that Kevin Stefanski was going to call the plays? And did Ken Dorsey ever truly come here thinking he'd have a shot to call the plays?
Well, my theory is that you don't take a job without knowing what your actual responsibilities are going to be. That's my own personal theory. I certainly wouldn't take a job without knowing what my responsibilities are going to be. Now, Stefanski reiterated yesterday that that is not the case, that he did not have this decision made months in advance. This is something that he contemplated after hiring Dorsey. He leaned on a lot of people, had a lot of conversations about it. He really did consider giving up the play calling duties and putting that in Dorsey's purview, but ultimately came to the decision to go ahead and call the plays as training camp begins here. So my theory differs from what Stefanski said. And I will say this, I can't find many times where Stefanski has willfully misled the media and just outright lied to the media. So I tend to take him at his word that, yes, this is, in fact, something that he thought about during the offseason.
Daryl, what did you make of Amari Cooper's comments yesterday about his, I guess we'll call it a holdout of minicamp, and his contract situation and what he thinks for the future?
Well, he made it clear that his intention was not to hold out for training camp. He wanted to have some sort of resolution so that he could report on time. And, in fact, that's exactly what happened. He also clearly wanted additional years, additional guarantees added to the contract, which did not happen. Andrew Berry did not want to add time to the contract. He also clarified that it wasn't necessarily about the annual salary, he wanted to make sure, because had he gotten hurt during training camp here, he could have been cut and the Browns could have gotten away scot-free, penalty-free, both financially. So he wanted to make sure that, if he did come to training camp and if something unfortunately happens, that the risk of him losing out on that remaining $20 million was gone. So getting that guaranteed, that was really important to him. As he put it, he didn't spend a lot of time pocket watching, seeing what Justin Jefferson and, some of these other, A.J. Brown and Jalen Waddle and Cooper Kupp and, all these other receivers out there. He wasn't sitting there watching, which I kind of find that hard to believe, because, pay scale is important in any profession. And he also talked about wanting to stay here. He's a guy that doesn't like a lot of change. He feels that it's been real successful since he came here to Cleveland. He'd like to keep that. He even said, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. Amari is a really good guy, both not only as a player on the field, but behind the scenes. And if he had to hold out, it would have been a complete opposite from, who he is as a person and who he is as a football player.
Well, Daryl, when the news came down about Amari Cooper getting this deal done and the way that it got done, it led a lot of people like me to just assume this is the last year of Amari Cooper in Cleveland. But when he talked about his fondness of this organization, the fans here, it didn't sound to me like lip service either. It sounded like somebody who absolutely is comfortable, almost in a way that maybe like a Jose Ramirez was comfortable in Cleveland. So given all of that, did that change your mind at all about whether or not Amari Cooper is going to be in the plans, maybe past the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
This year?
I think that everything comes down to Anthony, how this season goes, not just for Amari Cooper, but offensively for the Browns, and how, you know, the other receivers, you know, how does Jerry Jeudy play this year, and how does that, you know, does he fit in there? Elijah Moore, who they acquired last year from the Jets, you know, what does his situation look like on the field? Cedric Tillman, does he make a jump? Does the middle round rookie draft pick Jamari Thrash, does he have any factor into this? You know, Michael Woods, Bell, you know, again, a couple of Andrew Berry mid round draft picks that you're sorting through, quite frankly, and to see if there is something there. So I feel like Cooper's future here is really dependent not only on his production this year, but the production from the remaining supporting cast offensively. You know, if Jeudy struggles, or if Elijah Moore struggles, or, you know, anyone else, you know, that they're counting on in that receiving group, right? Then yes, I see a scenario where Andrew Berry absolutely finds a way to get Amari Cooper extended. But I said this earlier in the week, I'll say it with you guys. I kind of feel like if the Browns were going to extend Amari Cooper, they would have done it this offseason. So this is clearly a wait and see type of a scenario for the Browns. They love Amari, don't get me wrong, but you know, Berry's invested quite a bit in that receiving group, and I think he wants to see how that shakes out this year.
Daryl, one of the other big news items that we found out this week and we learned a little bit more about yesterday were the list of guys that are on the PUP list to start camp. That includes Dalvin Tomlinson, who Kevin Stefanski says set to have a knee scope today, and Greg Newsome, who needed a hamstring surgery. Who other than Nick Chubb on this list should fans be the most worried about?
Worried about? Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, they seem to be pretty confident and hopeful that, you know, both Tomlinson and Newsome will be ready to go by week one. They figured with Dalvin, because he's just so important up front, it's just better to have him get the knee scope now, get that taken care of, than, you know, look what happened last year with Joel Bitonio, right? He was trying to play through something with his knee, and then it just got to a point where, you know, during the bye week, he went ahead and had that scope, and he had to miss a couple of weeks, which it just absolutely killed Joel to do so. You know, I asked about Chubb and Jack Conklin as well, and Stefanski really didn't have an answer there. Didn't want to put a timetable for either player. Obviously, both coming off knee surgeries. Chubb, two knee surgeries, as a matter of fact. It's going to be a few weeks before we see those guys. Obviously, it's going to be a few weeks before we see Newsome and we see Tomlinson. I don't know who, you know, fans should ultimately be that concerned about right now. I did kind of get a chuckle out of Myles Garrett and Jerry Jeudy yesterday. They came over with the side guys and they started working out with them. So, you know, we're all like, oh, Jerry Judy's not practicing, something must be wrong. Myles Garrett's not practicing, something must be wrong. And then, like, in the middle of practice, they jumped in drills and they, you know, started doing some stuff. So, you know, Nyheim Hines, he's, you know, still coming back from his knee situation. Concern isn't the word that I'll use. It's just there's a list of guys that we have to monitor as we go through the early part of training camp here as far as their progress and their availability.
We've been getting in some conversation here at the station over the last few days about, with a new offense, potentially a new play caller, which of course is not going to be the case, but right. And also Jeudy in, how important it might be for Deshaun Watson to actually play in some of the preseason games. But then you see a story like this. The Lions, this is 4 minutes ago, announcing their kicker suffered a severe injury getting ready for practice yesterday and is out for the season already.
Goodness.
So when you see that, should it make us rethink whether or not Deshaun Watson should play in the preseason?
Well, and again, I go back to what I said earlier about Kevin Stefanski, you know, being very open and honest and sometimes candid with us. As far as answering questions, he really does not know if he's going to play Deshaun Watson in the preseason. He is on the fence. He is undecided. He is weighing the pros and cons of that. He's trying to figure out if the juice is worth the squeeze in that regard. So unfortunately, I don't have a lot of insight to provide you there as far as Watson being used in the preseason. What Stefanski did tell us about Deshaun is that everything looks really, really good. Kind of hard to tell yesterday because it wasn't an intense practice. They were doing a lot of stuff at three-quarter and half speed. I don't want to get into, you know, how did Deshaun Watson look on day one, because it's really hard to read in those settings. But Watson will be participating and able to handle the full workload when they go to the team drills next week. So then we can really start paying attention to what Deshaun Watson looks like during practice. But I do take Stefanski at his word that he is legitimately undecided and on the fence whether or not to put Watson on the field during the preseason.
Darryl, one of the things Mary Kay shared with us yesterday is that on the off day on Sunday, there's going to be a media pickleball tournament. How do you like your chances?
Not very good because I've never played. I have to read the rule book, and I have tried to get the lateral movement going and the back and forth movement going, and my legs are killing me. I did a couple exercises yesterday and woke up this morning and I feel every bit of 46 that I am.
So are you practicing in your hotel room? Is that what's going on here?
No, actually, over at the Greenbrier, there is plenty of green grass. And so I did a little hill work yesterday. I'll do some more today. Like I said, I'm trying to get the legs to fire so I can move around. But I will never be accused of having great hand-eye coordination.
Darryl, you famously injured another 92.3 The Fan staffer the last time there was a group event.
Well, not the last time there was a group event, but yeah, this is true. And we are not trying to do that. We're also trying not to get injured in this pickleball tournament. I will be probably the easiest first round matchup for whoever I end up playing. So I am aware that I will probably be hanging my head in shame after this pickleball tournament.
All right, sets up a great confrontation potentially. Mary Kay, who's never played before, versus Darryl, who's doing hill work at the Greenbrier yesterday. All eyes going to be on that matchup. Could be one of the biggest news stories to go down at Greenbrier. Thank you, Darryl.
We're hoping there will be no video of this at all.
All right, Darryl, we appreciate that. Darryl Ryder, Browns beat reporter, as always, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.